Okay, Venerable Ajahn Brahm's permission. Looks like we've come to the end of another retreat. And we, of course, I think we have more happy faces, more peaceful faces. And that says a lot for Ajahn Brahm's teaching. We are, of course, very grateful that Ajahn Brahm has again come to Penang to teach us the path of stillness, letting go, compassion, kindness, not only through teachings but also through practice, which we have seen from close quarters. These things are valuable, in fact priceless. The skills in the meditation practice, the intricacies of getting into the stages of deep meditations, those things cannot be found in the books, and not taught by many teachers. So those things are invaluable, and I think Ajahn Brahm has programmed into us so those of us who are a bit slower, it may come at a later stage or at some time, hopefully in this life or perhaps in the next life. And to repay Ajahn Brahm's kindness and compassion and teachings, we all hope that we can all be worthy, to be worthy of Ajahn Brahm's disciples. Thank you very much, Ajahn Brahm. And thank you very much, Ajahn Brahm. And to Ajahn Damarato, we also would like to extend our gratitude and thanks for Ajahn Damarato's kind assistance during this retreat, and also in leading us in the asking for forgiveness afterwards. And to those sponsors and supporters of Ajahn Brahm and all this for this retreat, we, as the, on behalf of the organizers, are very grateful for your sponsorship of all the various meals. And as I've mentioned to all of you just now, you have been one of the best retreatants we have so far, one of the best. I think like the duties just now, I think things were being done ahead of time. It was like automatic. So that we appreciate that very much, and it has been a privilege for us to serve, and an honor to serve all of you, to serve in the sasana. And who else have I missed? Yeah, and all the donations that I mentioned just now, all the excess funds will go to Jhana Grove or Bodhiana Monastery or whichever fund that Ajahn Brahm deems fit. So you can be assured whatever donations that you have made will all be made to good use and to be of merit to you in this life and in your future lives. I think I've got covered. Thank you very much, Ajahn Brahm. Very well, Ajahn Damarato. Please.
Okay. So first up, we should bow, yes, three times.
Down, up, down, up.
Yeah, great stomach exercises. So maybe everybody can repeat with me this first part. So, Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sammasambuddhassa.
Should lift up the time, right?
So if you can repeat after me, Ancharya Pamadena Dwaratayena Katang Sabang Aparadang Kamatu No Bante Acharya Pamadena Dwaratayena Katang Sabang Aparadang Kamatu No Bante Acharya Pamadena Dwaratayena Katang Sabang Aparadang Kamatu no Bante.
Very good.
And now you lower your heads a little bit because Ajahn will give us a blessing.
But don't lower it too far, otherwise you get bad back. Ahang kamami tumhe hippi me kamitabang.
Kamama bante.
That meant, I forgive you, now you must forgive me. And you said, yes, I forgive you. And now I give you the blessing. Nati me saranang anyang, buddho me saranang warang, ete na satcha wajena, soti te hotu sabbada. Nati me saranang anyang, tambo me saranang warang, ete na satcha wajena, soti te hotu sabbada. Nati me saranang anyang, sangho me saranang warang, ete na satcha wajena, soti te hotu sabbada.
Satu bante. And bowing three times.
Very good. So make sure, having asked forgiveness, you all behave yourself, otherwise you'll have to ask forgiveness again. Now, usually when I give forgiveness, I usually give forgiveness as last year for the three time zones. I give you forgiveness for all that you've done in the past, by body, speech or mind, intentional or unintentional. I give you forgiveness for all you're doing in the present, by body, speech or mind, intentional or unintentional. And I give you for all you do in the future, by body, speech and mind, intentional or unintentional. So please remember, you are all free forgiven. Which is true, because when you have a good relationship, in other words, the teacher, student, brother, sister in the Dhamma, it means you care for one another. And when you care for one another, you know that sometimes mistakes are made, but even if they're intentional mistakes, it's not you, it's just Mara, it's just defilements, and it's never you doing these things. So it's so easy to forgive other people. It's just their conditioning, it's just their stupidity, but underneath it all, they've got very pure, beautiful hearts. And because you see the pure, beautiful heart in all beings, I know that sometimes Mahayana people do that and Vajrayana people do that, but Theravada people do it as well. They see the beautiful, if you might call it, Buddha nature, the pure nature in all human beings. Now once you see that, it's very easy to have metta towards each other. And you have so much metta that doesn't matter what a person does, you can always forgive them. Look at like a mother towards her child. Sometimes that mother poos its pants. A mother has to clean it up afterwards. Does the mother object? No. It doesn't matter if the child poos its pants. It's just, that's what children do. So mother will still love and care for that child, and would never tell the child off. In the same way that you sometimes, as it were, poo your pants in meditation. Do the wrong thing. But nevertheless, you never get upset or angry at people. Because we know this is just what happens when people walk the path of the Dhamma. Yeah, you make mistakes sometimes, but they're all lovable mistakes. So because of that, there's never any upset or anger, never any negativity. So that's why I say, really, there's nothing which you need to ask forgiveness for, because you've all been practicing so well to your very best of abilities. And even though you may think you may have been lazy, or you may have talked too much or eaten too much, as for me, you've just done it perfectly. You could not have done it better. So well done, everybody. I said this morning I will not give report cards. If I did have a report card, I will give you straight A's. I would give you with distinctions, with honours, because you've done your very, very best. And that's why that we have to be patient, because sometimes it takes a long time, but it's worth it. Now, I've been a monk now for over 35 years, and I was meditating for at least 5 years before I became a monk. So now I've been training my mind, investigating it, learning from it for over 40 years, and I've had some of the best meditation teachers. So I was so lucky. And so you learn how to make the mind peaceful and still. And sometimes it was difficult. Sometimes, you know, you had to go through pain and disappointment, but nowadays I realize that's only because I was stupid. But when you learn how to get rid of your stupidity and become wise, follow the Dhamma, allow these teachings to sink inside so they go right into the very depths of you and you become those teachings, then all the meditation and life becomes so easy. As I mentioned at the very beginning of this retreat, one of the sayings of the Buddha, this is a path without groaning. That's a nice little saying. So if you're really following the path properly, there's no groaning, there's no, oh, this hurts, oh, I'm fed up, oh, this is depressing, oh, I'm not going anywhere. If you follow the path, oh, you're just a happy little meditator. Because that's a sign of wisdom working. A path without groaning, an effortless path, a very still path, a beautiful path, an inspiring path. And as you practice more and more, you find this is the most wonderful thing you can do. And this has nothing to do with Theravada, Mahayana, Vajrayana. It's nothing to do with being a girl or a boy. It's nothing to do with being intelligent or not so intelligent. This is just a path when you get out of the way. Girls, boys, different types of Buddhism, intelligent or unintelligent. And that's just so superficial. If we get underneath all that, we find like that simile of the lotus. We've all got the beautiful petals inside of us holding this wonderful jewel of enlightenment. And eventually it does open up. This is just nature. Sometimes people ask me that maybe that I'm not cut out for meditation. Maybe other people can become enlightened in this life, but not me. And it may be true. If you have killed an arahat, murdered your parents, caused a schism, those are the only things which stop you becoming enlightened. So is there anyone here who's murdered their parents? Is there anyone here who's caused a schism? Is there anyone here who's shed the blood of a Buddha? If you haven't, if you've ticked all those boxes, then the path to enlightenment is fully open to you. You can come in. And it's wonderful as a teacher to see these things happening. It's wonderful to be able to teach meditation, not just for 1 year, for year after year after year after year, and see people becoming more skilled in meditation. To see people coming at the very beginning and hardly being able to meditate at all for 15 minutes or 20 minutes, and see them getting more skilled in their meditation. See them getting more peaceful and happy, understanding themselves more and understanding their mind more. And as they go deeper and deeper, things like nimittas and jhanas, which they thought were so far away, maybe other people get those, but never me. But then they touch these beautiful states as well. And they realize, even me, even I can get these states. It's only a matter of time. So never give up, just let go. In other words, make sure you let go of the right things in life. In other words, so when there's an opportunity to meditate, just rest and relax, to give your mind a bit of a break. Because when we leave here, that you will be very busy doing many things, and sometimes I as a monk have to be very busy just running monasteries and retreat centers. But you always remember what you're doing this for. That your life, your work, your marriage, your family, whatever you're doing it for, there's something which is even more important than all of that, and that's the liberation from all suffering. The understanding of life and who you are. Because in that understanding and in that liberation, only then do you find the perfect peace. So you've heard these teachings, and just because they're my teachings doesn't mean you can't listen to other teachings as well. I often say that when you were at university, those of you who have been at university or even at school, especially at university, if you were studying something like, say, English, you didn't have one lecturer. You had 5, 6, 7 lecturers, because every teacher was skilled in many areas and weak in some other areas. And so when you had many teachers teaching you, they would complement each other really well. So if there are other people teaching retreats, if there are other people giving talks, go to listen to them. And it doesn't matter who they are, what they say, if they say 99% of things which doesn't make sense to you, sometimes that 1% which does make sense meant it was worthwhile attending. So don't just be members of the Ajahn Brahm cult. You are quite free to join other meditation retreats. You're quite free to learn other types of meditation, because as you heard me say in this retreat, it does not matter what they call it. Sometimes they can call it a samatha retreat, sometimes a vipassana retreat, sometimes a metta retreat. It does not matter what you're focusing on. What is important is how you're focusing on it. Whether you're watching the breath, or doing metta, or scanning your body, what you're watching is not as important as how you're watching it. So remember the teaching, whatever you're watching, whether it's scanning the body, metta, breath meditation, make sure that you make peace with your meditation object, whatever it happens to be. Be kind to it, and be gentle, and also be patient. And if you can remember those simple teachings, you can go to any retreat you like, and whatever the teacher is teaching, whatever you're supposed to be doing, just make peace with it, be kind, and be gentle. And then you are creating what I call the good meditation karma, which has to give rise to the fruits. Making peace gives rise to peace. Being kind gives rise to compassion. And being gentle and soft brings this beautiful, gentle, soft Buddha mind. And again, I've been meditating for so many years, and I know exactly how it works. I'm pretty skilled at this, not just teaching it, but practicing it. And I know that all you need to do is to sit there, get out of the way, let it go, and see what happens. Unfortunately though, it's so hard to do that simple teaching, to sit there, get out of the way, and see what happens. Because we always get in the way. But that becomes your task, to see how much you can let go, how much you can disappear, how much you can get out of the way. As I mentioned earlier, that wonderful saying from the Buddhaghosa's Visuddhimagga, the path is, but no traveler on it is seen. And if you're traveling it, if you don't get out of the way but try and walk the path, you'll find there's no path left. But if you vanish, by vanishing I mean giving no commands, having no expectations or desires, as I said this morning, not even measuring. If you totally disappear, then the path is a superhighway. You can't miss it. If you understand what we mean, then you understand how to meditate. You understand how to let go. And if you still have any doubts about that, just use your reason. How can a mind become still when you're always causing it agitation? How can this water become still when I'm always moving it? But you look, put it down, let it go, and it, nature is to become still. And as it becomes still, just like a lake or a pond, when the lake becomes very still and there's no waves on the surface of that lake, when there's not even a ripple on the surface of that lake, only then can it perfectly reflect the full moon and the beautiful stars in the night sky. But when there are waves or ripples on the surface of the lake, and you look for the reflections at night time, all you see is distorted images. That lake needs to be still, perfectly still, and it reflects the Dhamma, the truth, like the still lake reflects the full moon and the stars on a calm, starry night. So that's our job, to see how still we can become. And again, once you get the hang of this, stillness and peace is just one of the most, if not the most, delightful thing to experience. There's no happiness greater than stillness. That's actually one of the Buddha's sayings. The more still you are, the happier and more fulfilled and more joyful is your mind. Energized, happy, so content. And as you experience this more and more, as you do, it is that sense of joyfulness and happiness that comes along with stillness, which takes you further into stillness. This is like the carrot, the reward, which keeps you meditating more and more. And sometimes, even on this retreat, some of you have touched a little bit of stillness, a little bit of happiness. Some of you, a lot of stillness and happiness. And you think, wow, this was so nice, so wonderful, that this gives you the greatest meaning of your life. All the other experiences you have in life just compare unfavorably to the beauty, the happiness and fulfillment, and the meaning of peace of mind. And as you develop this more and more, it gets deeper and happier, more and more profound, more and more insights, less problems and difficulties in life. Someone was saying in the interviews that they almost just ran away to come to this retreat, and they wonder what happens when they go home. If you go home and your friends and relations don't see a difference in you, then you've wasted this retreat. But I guarantee, money back guarantee, I like giving money back guarantees because you never give me any money, so I don't have to give anything back. But I give you a guarantee that your friends and relations will see a difference in you. Maybe you haven't seen it because it's been incremental, a gradual making your mind more peaceful, more clear, more pure. But your friends do see that. One of the people who came on the last retreat in Perth in November, she told me, I think she sent a letter, that when she went back to, I think, Sydney to go back to work, her boss said, "Where have you been?" And he said, "What have you been taking? Because you're so much happier and peaceful. Could you buy me some of that drug?" said, I haven't been taking any drug. I've just been on a meditation retreat. And the boss didn't understand what meditation was. He said, but whatever it was, no, do it again. Because he noticed just how more peaceful and happy this girl was. And that's so common that maybe you may not be able to notice what you've achieved, but your friends and relations will. You're a far more peaceful person, easier to get on with, more capable of forgiveness and compassion, and even more efficient at work. Many years ago, when I was traveling from one place to another somewhere in Bangkok, I was given a copy of the Bangkok Post, and there was an article there about the Oriental Hotel in Bangkok, which was one of the very famous five-star hotels. And that year, that hotel had won an award as the best hotel in the whole world. And of course, the Thai people were very proud that their hotel had won this award for the best hotel. And of course, they did an interview with the manager to see, how is your hotel the best hotel? What specific things have you done which other hotels don't do, which gave you this award? And you know what the owner said? He said, every employee of this hotel, from the cooks to the waiters to the cleaners, I send them on a meditation retreat every year for 7 days at the company's expense. There was actually Ajahn Buddhadasa's monastery. And he said, I send everybody, you know, in a roster so that the hotel doesn't empty out all in 1 week. I send everybody to do meditation every year for 1 week at the company's expense, because I know from experience that when they come back, they're much happier, sensitive cleaners and waiters, and they are such happy, nice people. Our customers keep coming back because they like the staff, and we don't have so many arguments in the company. There's no backbiting. It's good for business, he said. That's why I do it. And that was the reason why, in the manager's opinion, the Oriental Hotel won the Hotel of the Year in that particular year. It's a shame I haven't got a copy of that article, because I could give it to you and you can give it to the manager of the company you work for, and next year not just get the time off, but get them to pay to send you off to these retreats. Because it actually works. It's in the company's interest. It makes you happier, more peaceful, more calm, more healthy people, and easier to live with. Now, I know that we've done meditation on calming the mind and gaining insight, but I haven't mentioned too much about compassion, basically because it arises naturally as a result of these things. As you do more meditation, the compassion gets stronger and stronger and stronger. An example which I love to give, which also answers the question once again of, are we doing samatha or vipassana? This is a question I get asked so often that I gave a simile. And this is a simile of the husband and wife. The husband was called Sam Atta, and his wife was called Vipassana. So Sam and Vi had a nice dinner one evening, and after the dinner they said, what should we do? You know, that's actually one lunch. What should we do this afternoon? And Vi said, look, I'd really love to walk up Meditation Mountain, because on top of the mountain there's this beautiful view. I can see for miles, I can see everywhere on top of that mountain. And Sam said, what a great idea, because I love the peace and tranquility on top of Meditation Mountain. So they all both decided to go walking up Meditation Mountain. Sam went up there for the peace. His wife, Fi, went up there for the view. But of course, they decided to take their dog with them. You know what their dog was called? Meta. So Sam, Fi, and Meta the dog walked up Meditation Mountain. And the higher they got, the more peaceful it was. Oh, it was so tranquil halfway up Meditation Mountain. You could hardly hear a thing. It was so still. And halfway up the mountain, oh, you could see such a beautiful view. And halfway up the mountain, surprisingly, little Meta the dog was wagging her tail. Wag, wag, wag. Meta was so happy. And when they got to the top of the mountain, wow, that was so still. So Sam was just drinking in the stillness. And Vi, the view was so good. Click, click, click. She was taking pictures of all the amazing sights. And as for Meta the dog was running around in circles like Dog Do, wagging its tail so hard it almost fell off. Meta was ecstatic at the top of the mountain. Now, even though Sam went up there for the peace, Sam also could enjoy the view. He had a pair of eyes. His wife, Fi, was enjoying the view, the sights, but she could also feel the deep peace. And both of them could look at Metta and understanding the amazing happiness and love which also existed along with peace and wisdom at the top of Meditation Mountain. And that's how it works. Because as you do this meditation, peace, insight, they come together, but also the happiness of metta. So it's natural that the more you practice like this, the more compassion you have, the more joy you have, the more love you have. So it gets to the point, as you get more peaceful, more wise, you become a more compassionate, loving human being. And you can't help it. So compassion is not something you do, like yoga, or like learning to play a piano. Compassion is just something which happens. Insight is not something you do. Insight is just what happens. It's all around you. Even stillness is not something you do. It's just what happens when you let go. So all these things happen so naturally. And it's gradual. As you go higher and higher up Meditation Mountain, more stillness. Oh, this is nice. Wow, now I understand things. More insights. And ooh, beautiful love and compassion all come together the higher you go up Meditation Mountain. So you've already gone up a long way. Maybe you've got a little bit more to go. But I can tell you, the higher you go, the better it gets. So if you're having fun, it's going to get better and better and better. You've only just started. You ain't seen nothing yet. I remember one occasion. I was in England, and I was at this ceremony in a prison, in a British jail. Because what was happening, they managed to get a big Buddha statue inside the jail. It was an open jail with a big garden. And we managed to get a Buddha statue inside there to start what we called a Buddha Grove. Because the Buddha statue has always been a symbol of peace and inspiration. And they thought, if we could actually put a Buddha statue in a prison with all these criminals in, it might just inspire them to find peace, find meaning, and maybe heal the reasons why they committed crimes in the first place. Especially to give them forgiveness. So I was fortunate, I was in England at the time, so I got invited to the ceremony, the inauguration ceremony of this big Buddha statue in one of the prisons. And of course, you know how we do these ceremonies In the evening we do circumambulation, taking incense, candles and flowers 3 times around this beautiful Buddha statue. And so there I was with many other monks, walking around with my flowers, candles and incense, thinking, what an amazing thing this is, that a Buddha has come into a prison. How this is going to help so many beings to take away the pain of people in our society who are hurting more than most, people in jail. And I was getting so inspired, more and more inspired, more and more compassion and joy. And that was where, out of the corner of my eye, I saw these two prisoners who were looking at me and pointing out this happy monk. And one said to the other, pointing to me, "He must be on drugs." He said, actually, "He's on the gear." And in prison slang, being on the gear means being on drugs, because they'd never seen a normal person so happy before, unless they were on drugs. And I went out to them afterwards, "I'm on no drugs, I'm just on meditation." And inspiration. So the higher you go on meditation mountain, you get happier and happier, and some people think you're on drugs, you're so happy. But it's not drugs. It's not alcohol. It's on Dhamma. It makes you happier and happier, and other people see it. And even if you don't tell anybody or teach anybody, even if you don't open your mouth, the fact that you are a happier, kinder person is a huge blessing for the world. Other people have to put up with you, your mother, your father, your friends, your husband, your children, everyone has to put up with you. So the kinder you become, the wiser you become, the easier it is for everybody else. So just you being kinder and more peaceful is a great blessing to other people. Even sometimes you're just walking down the street, minding your own business, and someone sees a peaceful, happy person, and it inspires them. I remember some years ago going into the travel agent to organize the ticket to come to Penang. And I was with another monk. And as I was at the counter, he sat down on a chair and started meditating. And the lady serving me looked at this monk meditating and thought, "Wow, I wish I could do that." He inspired her. I remember going to see one of our politicians once. And after going out of her office, she said, "Please come again. It's so wonderful to have peaceful people in my office." So a lot of times you can give an enormous amount to society just by who you are, by being a more peaceful, compassionate, soft human being in our very hard world. So what you've gained here on the last few days is not just for yourself, although you gain enormously. It will touch every person you come across. What you have achieved and what you have let go of, that will reach so many people. That is the gift of Dhamma, the gift of peace, the gift of compassion, which happens automatically. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, you always meet and touch so many other people. So when people say, "Oh, you've just been meditating, being selfish, there's been so many things I've had to fix at home, there's so many problems in this world, can't you be doing something more productive than sitting on your backside, closing your eyes, doing nothing all week?" You say, "No. By sitting down, I've been creating this beautiful, kind, wise person who I'm now going to take out into the world, spreading that peace and that kindness and that wisdom to everybody you meet, just because that's who you now are." So it is for yourself and for the sake of all other beings. I thought I was being selfish when I started meditating. I thought, can't I be doing something else for other people instead of sitting in Thailand meditating and meditating and meditating? But if I'd have done that, of course, I wouldn't be here teaching you meditation and inspiring you and making you happy and peaceful. So because I just spent some time by myself to learn my meditation, to gain wisdom and to develop my compassion, now I can share it with you. In the same way, for the last 9 days, you have been just being by yourself, developing your meditation. And now when you go home, you'll be able to share it with all the people you live with everybody. So this is the time your compassionate action begins. Compassionate to yourself first of all, and now compassionate to everybody else. And kindness is one of the most beautiful things. It lives alongside peace, and it always is a friend of insight. Those three things always go together. So if you see a person who says they're wise but they've got no compassion, that's not wisdom. If you see a person who says they're peaceful, they've got no insight, that can't be peace. If you see a person who says they're compassionate but they've got no peace, that's not compassion. These three things always go together. They are like the triple gem. Peace, insight and compassion. Another triple jewel. So, it comes now the time that we do the last little meditation for this retreat. And I was giving this little simile about, oh, I should really say, because many of you ask, what should I do when I go home? Should I meditate in the morning, in the evening? How can I keep this practice up? Don't worry about it, it will happen. So sometimes we always like to plan ahead. One of my favorite sayings is this, never do today what you can put off until tomorrow because you might die tonight. And I'm talking all that worldly stuff. So all this stuff which you do first to get out of the way and then you meditate. All that stuff, that's what I mean, put that off until tomorrow and do your meditation today. So in your list of priorities, things to do today, don't just say, well, I've got to cook the meal, I've got to wash up, I've got to clean up, I've got to do the accounts, I've got to call this person, I've got to do that. No, put meditation at the top of the list. I've got to do meditation first of all. Then I've got to look after my husband. Then I've got to... So put priority to meditation. Why? Because if you give priority to meditation, all the other things you get done quicker, more efficiently, with more productivity. So remember, meditation is not wasting time. It's making the best use of your time. So put it at the highest of your priorities of your day. And then you'll always find time to meditate. And meditate how long? You just find out for yourself how long you need. How much do you need to eat? Sometimes I notice coming to Penang, it's a hot country, so I eat less. It's nature. Sometimes if I work hard, I have to eat more. So I know how much to eat. Now you know how much to meditate. Because as you're meditating, you feel, this is just nice now. I'm full. So you get up, and then you go and do whatever work you need to do. But if you don't meditate enough, it's like you feel hungry. You feel weak, because you haven't eaten enough. So you can find how much you need to meditate, just by feeling the strength or weakness of your mind. Because that's what it's like, it is food for the mind. So that's actually how we meditate, and that's what we do, and that's how much we meditate. You'll always find time for it, you'll always find a place for it. But I must say, at home, your meditation will just, it won't get anywhere near as good as when you're on a meditation retreat. It will just sort of plateau. So you keep it that level, and so the next time there's a retreat, you can take up from where you left off in the last retreat and take it further and deeper. But if you don't meditate at all between retreats, you go down, 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 backwards. And when you do start a retreat, you have to really work hard to get up to where you left off. But if you meditate in the meantime, you don't lose so much ground. So try that. And meditation is fun anyway. So it becomes just something you love doing. So, that's what you do when you get home. You're not home yet, you're here. And so now we usually finish off with a nice metta meditation to get all this energy which we built up in the last few days and build it this enormous kindness and compassion. So the meditation was that lasts about half an hour. So if you like to get yourselves nice and comfortable, and I will lead you in the final closing metta meditation. Okay, there's someone there you love very much and they've been very cruel and harsh to you. Well, how can you do that? How can you forgive them? Remember, the first way of forgiving, the first requirement to forgive, is to see that there's something much more than those harsh words or that cruelty which they've shown to you. If you want to remember those two bad bricks in a wall, if I could only see the two mistaken bricks, I can never accept that wall. I want to destroy it. When I see those two bad bricks and the 998 perfect bricks as well, I realize it's not such a bad wall. So whoever it is that's hurt you, been cruel to you, disappointed you, if you just look at those words or actions which have been very harsh and undeserved, you will never be able to forgive them. So look for the rest of them, all the wonderful, kind things they've done to you, the beautiful things they've done, and the loving words they've said to you, which have always been there, but you've just got these 2, 3, 10, 20 bad experiences as well. So put the bad experiences in context. They haven't always been cruel to you. Sometimes they've been very kind. They haven't always acted meanly to you. Sometimes they've really cared for you. So put it in context and say, yeah, 2 or 3 bad bricks in the wall. But that's no reason for me to destroy the wall. And then you have a reason to forgive. Once you have a reason to forgive, the rest is easy. If you just focus on the hurt, no way will you be able to forgive. See a bigger picture. Okay, so now compassion time. So, okay, today many of you have heard me do the loving kindness compassion. Today I'm going to do it a different way, to give you another angle on compassion, to make it interesting. So, here we are. Close your eyes. We could just do a little bit of letting go meditation first of all for 5 minutes. And after 5 minutes, I'm going to come in to give you another loving kindness method.
just making peace, being kind, being gentle with whatever you're experiencing right now. Allowing this moment to be. Just knowing as clearly as you can what you're experiencing right now and being content with it. This is good enough. Now in your mind, imagine a circle. And inside the circle are all those people you love and care for. Your best friends, your loved one, maybe your children. And imagine them as if they were in a golden ring, like a wedding ring. And inside is all the people and things you love and respect and care for. And you can imagine them, who they are, and how much you love and have compassion for them. As if inside that golden ring, there's this beautiful golden energy, this light of love and compassion, which is so easy for those people who have been kind to you, who've cared and loved you. Just notice who those people are. And just outside that ring, but not inside, are the people who you like, but you don't really love. The people who haven't hurt you, but you haven't done so much kindness towards. Imagine who they are. They may be your friends, your fellow yogis in this room, maybe people in your family, who are just outside the ring, the circle. And imagine the circle expanding to bring in those people, more friends, more family, more people you know, until the golden light of love and compassion soaks them to the core as well. And then you notice just beyond that circle are the people you don't like. These may be your family. It may be people you work with. Imagine your circle expanding again until they too are including in this golden ring of compassion, in which the energy, the light, the power of metta flows, expands, and drenches everyone within this golden circle with metta and love. It's wonderful to expand that circle. Now all the beings in there, no matter who they are, whether they're right in the center of the circle or just being included, you find it makes peace to give them all of that kindness and love. You've included them in to your heart. And now go even further. As you expand that circle to include not just the people you don't like, but some of the situations in life which you find difficult. Outside that circle of people, you might find sickness and pain. See if you can expand the circle to include that as well. Even some of the negative feelings, we can include them in our golden circle of acceptance and love. So those pains and sickness, they have a meaning for us. From then we learn, from then we grow, In Buddhism, they're called messengers of Dharma, of truth. Old age, sickness, even death are there to teach us. To teach us to let go, to be liberated, to be free. So even what we don't like, we can include into our circle this golden ring of metta. And even the things which you hate and are afraid of, even those, if you're Chinese, ghosts, they too can come into your circle. As you expand that ring further and further out, as it gets bigger and bigger, and you see inside now are all these things which you didn't like, which you even hated. Now, because they're inside, next to all these other beautiful things in the center, which you find so easy to have respect and kindness towards, because they're jostling side by side, the beautiful light of love and kindness and joy is radiating out to all of those beings. And right in the center of that circle of metta, you can visualize a Buddha, the center and source of unbounded, unlimited compassion. Around that Buddha, you can imagine the monks and nuns you really respect. And next to that, in the next layer, radiating this love and compassion from this very center of your circle outwards, including healing, freeing you. As you go out from the monks and nuns you love and care for your fellow, what we call Kalyana Mittas, your noble friends, the people you've been meditating with this weekend. Beyond that, your friends who aren't here. Beyond that, the people you don't really care for but don't hate. The sort of the even people. And beyond that, the people you don't like. Beyond that, the enemies. Beyond that, the situations and feelings which you don't like. And feeling this beautiful power of loving kindness and compassion radiating from the center of your circle. Outwards and outwards until everything becomes golden, everything becomes kind, forgiving and pure. And it's even including those people you found it hard to give kindness towards, because in the center of you is this beautiful Buddha nature, this kindness, this purity, the Buddha. And that's in the center of you right now. And that is radiating this golden light and warmth, which is reaching to the people you like and care for, reaching out and out, touching even the people you find it difficult to forgive and have kindness towards. When they're inside of your circle, there is peace. When they're outside, there is still business to be done, reconciliation to perform. Inside, we're at one. And imagine that power of beauty and light and compassion coming from the Buddha inside of you, pushing that circle ever wider, ever broader. There are many difficult things each one of us has to experience in life. Disappointments, tragedies. Push that circle, the golden ring, further and further out. And as it gets further and further out, it includes more and more of those things in your life you thought were unnecessary. You find that all of them belong inside of you. You are made of all of those experiences. And without those experiences, those tests, the painful experiences, you wouldn't be the beautiful person you are. They raise you up to a higher level of love and kindness and compassion. As within the circle inside of you, The golden light pushes the circle wider and wider and wider until it spreads throughout the whole of this universe. And in the same way, right now, you may feel that golden circle inside your heart. Imagine that circle inside the center of your body, the beautiful metta and compassion and kindness, this golden light of forgiveness and peace, feeling beautiful and warm and freeing and holy. And imagine that light in your chest growing and growing and growing, like the circle in your mind, the circle in your body, growing from your heart, encompassing your lungs and your organs, your back. And as it encompasses your body, it heals and softens and liberates. May everything this golden light touches be at peace, be free, free of pain, free of tension. As you feel this golden light embracing your whole body. Each one of us have got injuries and sickness, the wear and tear of old age. When this golden light, the ring, the sphere, encompasses your whole body, pause there to fill this sphere which contains your body with the most beautiful, powerful, golden, warm light of loving kindness. Dear body, I care for you. May all my pain ease. May it all disappear from the power of this beautiful loving kindness coming from the Buddha in the center of my heart. May all of the tension and tightness from having meditated for such a long time, may all that vanish. May all my tiredness, all my frustration, as this beautiful golden healing light encompasses your whole body from the toes to the tip of the head, from your fingertips all around, soaking right into the center of you. And just feel the beautiful peace, just like when your mother gave you wonderful love, when the people you love so much cared for you. Just, you know how you felt relaxed and free and at ease, knowing that you're loved and cared for and safe and warm. Now that beautiful loving kindness, the beautiful energy and the light, the radiance going to every pore of your body, going to the marrow in your bones, healing, freeing and relaxing. And as that metta goes to all parts of your body, it also goes into your mind as well. This mind which has been striving, which is sometimes disappointed, sometimes so peaceful, sometimes not so. Healing like it heals the body. It's this golden energy of love, of kindness, of care. Still around your body and mind like a sphere protecting you. Heals and warms and takes away all the fear, tightness and tension. Just in the present moment, the energy of metta, of compassion, soothing, caring and healing. And when this beautiful compassionate energy in this bubble around you has done its job, now expand it. Expand it to encompass the people sitting around you. They too, just like yourself, are in pain, tired maybe, tense. Soak them with this beautiful golden energy coming from the Buddha in your heart. As you extend the sphere wider, and throughout that sphere, the beautiful golden, brilliant, warm energy of metta gets stronger and stronger. As it expands, it does not dilute, but it gets more intense in its power and its ability to heal and take away pain. Expanding till it's all around the people next to you, until it's all around everyone in this hall, each one of us contributing to this beautiful golden energy of loving kindness, which embraces everybody in this room, just like you, them, just like them, you. People striving for peace, for freedom, for enlightenment, sometimes feeling so frustrated and tired. Now, you are one with them. The kindness, the compassion, the acceptance. As the Buddha in the middle of your heart opens all the doors, so your door of your heart is truly open to everybody in this room, without judgment, without criticism. All beings in this room, the door of my heart is totally open, so this beautiful compassion and kindness coming from the Buddha inside is there for each one of you, warming, healing, freeing, liberating, till each one of you feels so safe and so peaceful. The power of kindness and compassion gives stillness, gives insight, gives power, gives peace. There's no longer do you fight the moment, but you embrace the moment with joy, with kindness. And this beautiful golden light, healing all the aches and pains and fears which any of you may have in this room today, knowing that so many little Buddhas in each one of our hearts really cares for you and will never criticize, will accept you for who you are. So no longer will you have to try and meet other people's expectations, not even your own expectations. You can just be who you are, knowing you're accepted and loved totally, as the door of our hearts are totally open to each other, without conditions, without criteria, unconditional compassion for each one of us. As this golden light fills the whole room, healing, warming, liberating, making each one of us feel so free. You need that compassion. You give it, you receive it in equal proportion. So give your kindness, your compassion, your goodwill to this beautiful light and see it come back and warm you. Just as your door is open to all other beings are open to you. As you feel so free and at peace with all the beings you spent the last few days with. But just like the beginning of this metta, the circle needs to be expanded. As you push this beautiful bubble of love outside of the walls of this hall, until it embraces the whole of this temple, Mahindarama Temple, with all of the monks, with all of the lay people, with all of the dogs and the birds, with all of the beings in this Buddhist temple who have helped and served and made it possible for you to be here. Some of those beings, like the dogs and the birds and the little beings which crawl in the crevices of the buildings, they too need your kindness. They need this beautiful golden energy. So expand the bubble until all beings in this temple complex are included. Until the golden light which we've joined together, the golden light of kindness, compassion, care, embraces all beings. animals, birds, insects, invisible beings, humans. There's enough power here for everyone. May all beings in this temple feel the same acceptance and peace which I feel right now. They all feel so much love that they know contentment, just happy to be here in the warmth of unlimited, unconditional compassion, healing, warming, liberating. And once this bubble starts to expand, it can expand even further, expanding to embrace the whole of Penang Island, with the people in the prison and in the hospitals, men and women arguing, animals about to be slaughtered, dogs and cats without homes, birds in the air without food, all beings in this island of Penang. As you expand this bubble to embrace everyone, like the whole of the island of Penang is held in the beautiful, kind hands of the Lord Buddha. From inside of us, the energy pours out. In this moment, there are people waiting outside the ICU, waiting for news of the person they love. There are people who are lonely and afraid. There are animals cowering in the dark corners, hungry. So all of you and everyone else, the power of our love goes out. Unconditional, powerful, accepting, warming, healing. No matter who you are, may you be happy, may you be at peace. May that tightness and tension inside of you be released. Because we care, we love, we truly wish you well. And for those of you who live in Penang, inside this bubble are some of your enemies, some of the people you have hurt and who have hurt you. This golden light is too strong. It even breaks down those barriers of fear and revenge and goes into their hearts as well. In this moment, in this time, may all our enemies be our friends. May the wall of distrust, like a Berlin Wall, be torn down. Whatever happened in the past, we let that go. So in this moment, the golden light of love, forgiveness, and peace can flow unimpeded to every living being in Penang Island. And it feels so good and so wonderful. There's an energy in your own heart, a warmth which you can feel. It's pure, it's sacred, it's good. Expand it even further, until it encompasses a whole nation of West Malaysia. Many of you are from Penang, from Kuala Lumpur, Terengganu, from all over, embracing Singapore and Thailand. Stop there as that bubble warms and heals all the beings in this peninsula. There are so many people who are afraid, sick in pain. There are so many beings also afraid who desperately need warmth, kindness, love and acceptance. Please give it. Give it totally, unrestricted. There's enough energy and power to cover the whole of this peninsula with beautiful, warm, loving kindness. May the insurgents at war, may the people with guns, may all beings be free from hate. May all beings be free from fear. May all beings know that in this moment someone loves you and cares for you and wishes you well. As you feel this beautiful golden light of metta, compassion, bring peace, stillness and hope to this peninsula. As you expand the bubble even further, I expand it down to Australia, expand it wider to the whole of Asia, to Europe, the Americas, Africa, covering the whole of this planet, to tell those people who are fighting in wars, to tell those people who are arguing, tell those animals who are being hunted, in this moment, the beautiful energy and power of love, of care, and of sincere well-wishing is reaching you too. Dear beings, don't lose hope, because we're there for you. This beautiful metta carrying the Dhamma of the Buddha, liberating, freeing, bringing peace and harmony as we send it with the power of our minds, healing the whole planet Earth, calming, soothing, just like the mother soothes the pain of her child, so we soothe the pain of our planet with our beautiful, powerful, loving kindness, this golden energy, healing, pacifying, taking away the pain and the fear and the anger which divides people. May all beings, human and otherwise, feel this wonderful peace of the Buddha. In this moment may they be free of hatred and know the release of the freedom from ill will. May they be free of fear and know in metta that we protect each other from harm. May they know the care which unites us and binds us as one family, human and all other species. In this moment, may this world be as one, in beautiful, unbounded, golden loving kindness. And just pause there to give time for your kindness and compassion, for all of our compassion united in this beautiful golden energy, to heal, to bring hope, to lift anger and ill will and fear out of the hearts of all beings. May all beings be happy and well. May all beings be free from pain. May all beings see their suffering evaporate from the power of the golden love coming from our hearts. Now leave most of that golden energy out there and just bring a little bit back inside the peninsula, back inside the island of Penang, back inside Mahindarama Temple, back inside this room and back inside your heart. Just a little seed in the middle of your heart, and from that little seed make it grow again into this beautiful golden light. But because before you leave it, bring that loving kindness to yourself, bathe yourself one last time. May I, be happy and well. May I be free from all this wanting, knowing that in this moment I'm perfect, more than good enough, for the sake of being at peace with myself. May this golden light, just within you, may it open the door of your heart to the whole of you. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, may the door of your heart be fully open. May I love me as I am, with all of my faults. As this beautiful loving kindness unites you, making no division between the part of you you're ashamed of and the part of you you're proud of. Loving kindness loves all of you. May I be at peace. May I be one. May I be free. May I be enlightened. And keeping that thought, imagine that golden light just resting on the top of your heart. And out of your heart comes this beautiful Buddha lotus, white, pure, and subtle, with a beautiful light sitting on the top. And the lotus leaves slowly closing. The only thing capable of holding metta, the pure white lotus in your heart. Until the petals totally close upon the ball of love, keeping it in your heart as a seed, as a spark, as an energy to be used whenever it's needed, deep inside. And I'm now going to give the blessing. Please keep your eyes closed so this blessing can sink deep within you. Sabba Buddha Nubhavena Sabba Dhamma Nubhavena Sabba Sangha Nubhavena Buddha Ratanang Dhamma Ratanang Sangha Ratanang Tinang Ratananang Anubhavena Chaturasiti Sahasa Dhamma Kanda Nubhavena Pitakataya Nubhavena Jina Savaka Nubhavena Sabete Voga Sabete Baya Sabete Antaraya Sabete Upadava Sabete Dunimita Sabete Avamangala Vinasantu Ayuvadako Dhanavadako Siriwadako Yasavadako Balavadako Vanavadako Sukhavadako Hontu Sabada Dukha Voga Paya tuchupadava anekantavaya pivinasantu chatejasa jaya siddhi danang labang soti bhagayang sukhang balang siriyayu cha vano cha bhogang vodhi cha yasava satava sa cha ayu Chajiva Siddhi Vavanchute Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. So that's wishing you all well-being, all freedom, all peace, and all enlightenment. The very, very best for each one of you and for all beings in this universe. And here ends the 2009 Penang retreat. And there's another one coming next year. If I don't see you in Perth or KL or somewhere else, see you same place, same time next year. Okay, so what do we do now?
Ajahn Brahm, do you do the five precepts or...?
Oh yeah, the five precepts.
And then we could ask Ajahn Brahm to distribute the CDs or the recordings to the yogis.
Okay, yeah. So five precepts first of all, and then we'll give you the CDs. Okay, so I'll do Namo Tassa first, and you say it afterwards.
Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Ti Sarana Gamanang Nititang.
Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kame sumichachara viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majapamadatana viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Imani pancha sikkhapadani silena sukhatin yanti, silena bhoga sampada, silena nibbutin yanti, tasma silang visodaye. Very good.
So now we give out CDs. Is that right? Yes, okay. And then you want photographs this evening or this afternoon, and then CD. So first of all, the people who got enlightened, please come up for your prize. Then the people with jhanas. No. Please come up whenever you want. So, please.